Today's Shem Sech to Makas Daf Chav Beis. We will begin on Daf Chav Aleph on the Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Amalei Ula Rav Nachman. Our Mishnah had identified that somebody could do one act on Shabbos and Bichayev 8, one act on Yontif actually, and Bichayev 8 Malkas. So Gemara begins to ask, Amalei Ula Rav Nachman, V'loel Kinami, why is there also no Malkas Mishum Zerei B'Yontif that he's planting on Yontif, says the Gemara, Amalei Tan of Shayer. Yes, there could have been more things mentioned, but not everything that could have been mentioned is mentioned. Says the Gemara, Tanak Tani asked the Gemara, Amalei, let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shmoina, that so the Mishnah, by saying the number, is teaching us that it's the definite number. So how could you say that Tana V'Shaya, that the Mishnah didn't have an exhaustive list? Amar Rava, to which Rava responds, Yesh Chilk Melachas B'Shabbos, that on Shabbos, if somebody does 39 Melachas, he's Chayiv 39 Malkas, Vein Chilk Melachas B'Yontif. But if somebody on Yontif, for example, did many Melachas B'Shayig, then he's only chayiv once. And there's the reason being, because how do we know that on Shabbos, that for every melacha that you do, you chayiv separately? The reason is because the Torah mentions the lav, the avera of havara. And we often explain that why did the Torah have to say, lo'suvaru eish b'chol mesh v'seichem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos? Havara, putting on a fire, is also like all the other malachas, to teach us l'cha'alik yotzes, to teach us that for each act, for each malacha, you chayiv separately. But that's said strictly by Shabbos. It's not said by Yontif. So the halacha that you chayiv for each one separately only applies to Shabbos. It does not apply to Yontif. The other explanation given, because not everybody agrees that the reason Havara is singled out is l'chalik yotzus, that to teach us to jichai for every malacha separately. That those that say that havara is singled out is because l'lav yotzus, to teach us that it's a separate lav, that it's only a lav, it doesn't carry the same strict punishment like all the malacha Shabbos. So how do you know jichai for each malacha on Shabbos separately? Because the Torah says, v'achas mehena, to teach us that for every one of the malachas, yichayiv separately. But that's a din that said strictly regarding Shabbos. It's not a halacha that said regarding Yontif. And therefore, on Yontif, you're chayiv for all the malachas only once. The reason is, explains the Meches Chinuch, why is Shabbos and Yontif different? He says, by Shabbos, the Isser is loisasaka malacha. The Torah says we're not allowed to do malacha. And each malacha, therefore, is a separate avera. By Yontif, it's not a din in the malacha. It's a din in the Yontif. The Yontif is that Yontif is a day of rest. But it's not a violation on the, it's not connected to the malacha, it's connected to the day. And therefore, all the malachas being violated is only considered one avera. Another explanation is that it's a gzeres hakasif, as we just finished explaining. The fact that the Torah needed to go out of its way by when it speaks about Shabbos and say either like Sevaro Achs Mehena is to teach us that strictly on Shabbos does such a din apply, not a Yontif. Amalei, when Ula said to Rava, after Rava gave him this teretz, Oda Tehei, what you just said, Oda Tehei, is correct. Esvei Abaya asks, Abaya, is that true that ein chilk melachos b'yontif? That for each melach on yontif, there isn't a separate chiyuv. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, hamavashel gid b'chala b'yontif v'ochlai. If somebody cooks the gid anosha, which of course we're not allowed to eat, in milk on yontif and he eats it, loich echamish will get 5 malkas. Loich mishum eichel gid. The Torah says, Alkein lo yoichu b'nei Yisrael is gid anosha. V'loich mevashel b'yontif shloi l'tzorich. Cooking on yontif, not for the purpose of being eaten. But Ritva makes a very important point. It says the Gemara in Masechta Beya, Daf Yud Beis, teaches us the machlokes by Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel's opinion is Metoich Shehotru LeTzayrich, since we're allowed to do Melachas Eichel Nefesh when there's an Eichel Nefesh purpose, Hotru Nami Shloi LeTzayrich, even when there is no Eichel Nefesh purpose, we're allowed to do Melacha. Whereas Beis Shammai's purpose is, says no, we don't say Metoich. So according to Beis Hillel, even if we're cooking for not a proper purpose, as we're just discussing, we apply the concept of metoich. So this, that the Gemara is saying that you're cooking on Yontif Shloi LeTzorech is a chiv, is only following the opinion of Beis Shammai. Like Mavashal Gedid B'Cholof, the Gid is considered meat. And again, there's a big machloikus in Masech Techulin, says the Ritva. If Yesh Begidim Anoisim Tam, or Ein Begidim Anoisim Tam, does the Gid meat have Tam? This Bryce is following the opinion that Gid has Tam, and therefore since Gid has Tam, it's considered like cooking meat and milk. V'loika mishim oichel basa b'chalav, it's considered basa b'chalav. V'loika mishim avara, and you get Malkus for making a fire in Yontif. Vim Isa, but says the Gemara, if we're going to say that on Yontif all the malachas are considered only one, then mishim havara loy mechayiv. You should not be chayiv for havara, the chayiv le mishim bishul. And bishul is a malach on Yontif, and havara is a malach on Yontif. And if we're saying that for all malachas on Yontif, you only chayiv one, you should not be chayiv for havara and bishul separately. Says the Gemara, indeed, fair question. And apik havara, remove havara from the braisa, vile, get anoshish on novela, and put into its place, get anosh of novela. Ask the Gemara, Vatani, ask the Gemara, didn't Rav Chiya teach us in a braisa, that when we look at this braisa, like we categorize, there'll be shtayim al chilasoi, there are two lavim that are eating type of malchus, v'shlolosh abishula, and three malchus that are cooking related. Vim isa, if we're taking out havara and putting in instead gid shel novela, so the way it should be divided actually should be shalosh al achilas uchayiv for eating the gid anasha, for eating basa b'cholov, and for eating the vela, and not just two. Ella says the Gemara, the way to amend the brisa is apik havara, take out havara v'ayil atzei ashera, that you're not allowed to use the atzei ashera. V'asaros ha'machocha, where the Torah says, lo yubik b'yotchem u'ma menacherim, we're not allowed to use anything that's avodah zara. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha b'rei d'Ravina b'rei d'Rova l'Rav Ashi, if so, we should be able to add another lav to this list. V'lul ki nami, m'shem v'lo yisovi ta'eva al b'secha, alochem ma'iskinen, kigon shibishlu b'atzei hegdish. They used the wood of the base ha'migdash, v'saros ha'machocha v'ashireim tishfam b'eish, v'sasu kein, and since you're now supposed to be using this wood for that purpose, it's considered you violated this lav. Simon Shanboy Shazaz. Says the Gemara. Maskler of Oshia. Going back to our Mishnah. Why, when we're looking for, and the Mishnah said that we're only over 8 lavin, ask the Gemara, there should be many other lavin included. Ask the Rav Lilkin Nami, Hazorei Benachal Eson, Vazorasa Mahacha Shlo Yavid Boy, Velo Yuzorea. We know that the Torah Gdosha teaches us the parasha of the Egla Rufa. If a corpse was found between two cities, we don't know who was the murderer. The closest cities start to measure which city is closer, and the city that's closer have to bring a calf, ashloi ol ol ol, that never had on it that never was worked in, and it should be brought to a place that's a nachal eson, a place where nothing was ever planted, and that's where this animal is decapitated, and they say a whole parsha. Nachal eson is a place where nothing was planted. Actually, the Rishonim point out, it's not only a place where it's never planted, it's a place that can't be planted, but as the Ritva says, it can be planted under circumstances. So if somebody planted in such a place, he's over the lav, ashlo yovid by v'lo yizorea. Maskalar of Chananya, v'lach shunami amoich kashem balichosoi. If somebody's erasing Hashem's name as he's plowing, v'azros mehocha, where the Torah says, v'avata meshamom, lo sasakein l'ashem alakeichem. Maskalar of avua, v'lach shunami akoises bahartoi. If through his working, he's a mitzayra, and the aloch is that a mitzayra has not allowed to do anything to remove the tzaras. Vazros b'hacha hishamer b'nega tzaras. Maskel of abaya v'lach shivnami hamazir choshim al eifed. If he's a kohen, and as he's doing this avoda, he's removing the choshim from the eifed, and the halacha is or a maser b'da oren. He's removing the poles that were on the side of the Aron Kodesh. Vazros b'hacha lo yisuru. That you're not allowed to, the tabas oren ye abadim lo yisuru. We may never remove those poles from the oren. And the pasuk says v'lo yizak hachoshin mi'al ha'efed. Maskler v'ashi v'lach shenami achorish b'atzei ashera. If you're using the atzei ashera, v'azeros ha'macha v'lo yibak b'yot chamuma menacherim. We're not allowed to, in any way, as we said earlier in our shir, use avoda zara. Maskler ravina. Why won't we be considered that he's cutting good trees? That the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to rip out a good tree. Where somebody made a shvua that he's not going to make, that he's not going to work on Yontif, and by working on Yontif, he's violating that Shvua. So to that, the Gemara responds, Hasam lekol chala Shvua lov. That Shvua is not going to be effective, because Mujbe v'ayim v'ar Sinai, something which is already Osir, Mujbe v'ayim v'ar Sinai, we're all commanded that obviously we may not work on Yontif, we can't make a Shvua to prohibit something that we may not do anyway. Amar lay, so it says I could come up with a way that this shvur would be effective. Kigayin d'amar, if somebody said shvur shleichosh bein b'chol bein b'yontif, the way he expressed the shvur was that I'm not going to plow both during the week and on yontif. The migi d'chol of shvur b'chol, the shvur that he's not going to work during the week is a valid shvur. Chayla namiyontif, that's called an issa koilu. And by Issa Kailu, we do say Issa Chalal Isser. Because, so why, again, isn't this included in the list? Answers the Gemara, Mida de Issa B'Sheil Loiktani. The list doesn't include anything that could be overturned. And a Shvua, we know you could have a Heter, you could overturn it. Ask the Gemara, Loi, is that true that that list doesn't have anything on it that can't be overturned? V'rei Hegdish. One of the things that we learned in Mishnah was that it was Hegdish. Hegdish could be overturned. Answers the Gemara, Bechor. Yes, if somebody identifies, if somebody's magdish something, you could change it. But a Bechor, which is Kedushasoy Merechem, it's born with that Kedusha, cannot be overturned. Says the Gemara, Varei Nazir. One of the things that's mentioned in the Mishnah was the Nazir. And a Nazir also is a form of a Neder. And since the Nazir is a form of a Neder, it could be overturned, says the Gemara. It's talking about Nazir Shimshon. And a Nazir Shimshon, we know that Shimshon became a Nazir because the Malach said that he should be a Nazir. So it's a Gzeira, says the Rivan. It was a decree and a Shemayim. Something that's a decree from Shemayim can't be overturned. So I saw the Dover Misharim, the Chabina Rav says that just like we learned earlier in our Masechta, that a neder al das rabim cannot be annulled, a neder that's made by a malach is in that category that can't be overturned. The Meiri has a different approach. The Meiri's approach is that what does annulling a neder mean? The annulling a neder means that you made the neder, and the Torah gives us a way of overturning that nether.
says the Meiri, the whole din of Ataras Nadarim was only said by something that's man-made. So if I made a nether, the Torah says I could have that nether annulled. But a nether which is not made by us is not the type of a nether. A nether that's not a man-made nether cannot be overturned. The Gvura Sari, the Shagas Aryeh, has a whole different approach. And actually, I saw that the many Achroinim work with that approach. Their approach is that there's this new category of nether. There's a nether of the category of Nazir Shimshon, which can't be annulled. The reason that pshat is very, very important is because, as we said a moment ago, Shimshon, how did Shimshon become a Nazir? The way Shimshon became a Nazir is that the Malach told his parents, before his mother was even pregnant, that you're going to have a child who's going to be a Nazir. So how can anybody else ever be a Nazir Shimshon? The Malach doesn't talk to us. The answer is that yes, Shimshon became a Nazir through the Malach. But what that established is that there's a certain category of Naziris. There's a new category of Naziris. What is the new category of Naziris? The new category of Naziris is called Nazir Shimshon. Even though that category that now we have in Nazir Shimshon wasn't made by a Malach, it's made by us. But the Torah is Mechadish, that there is a category of Naziris called Nazir Shimshon, which carries with it certain rules. And one of the rules is that such a Naziris cannot be annulled. Says the Gemara, Nazir Shimshon, Ibayat Muya Lemesimhu. But says the Gemara, and as we just explained, the Nazir Shimshon is a new category with its own unique rules, and one of the rules is that he can become Tameh. Says the Gemara, Hai Tana Issachoylu Leslei. He doesn't agree to the concept of Issachoylu, and therefore, since the Shvu could be Chal and Yontif, because of Issachoylu, it's not considered as a problem of Ein Issachal Alissa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Oishia, Hamar Bia Shor Psulei Mekdoshim. If somebody has an animal that was designated as Hegdish, and then it has a mum, and then it was redeemed. The halach is, if somebody mates that animal with another animal, the halach will be loike shnayim. He gets two sets of malchus. One is because of klayim, and one is that even though the animal is no longer hegdish as it was, it may not be worked with. Omer Rav Yitzchak, Hamanik b'shar psula mekdashim, if somebody takes such an animal and works with it, loika, he's chayiv for klayim. Only if it's carrying something. Ask the Gemara, how could it be klayim? It's only one animal. Guf echad hu. Says the Gemara, yes, it's only one animal, but osa kosev kishnei gufim. The halacha views this animal as if it's a combination. Because as we just said, since it's an animal that was originally hegdish, but now it went down a step, so since it went down a step, the halacha views it as a combination, partially hegdish and partially chulin. That's another example of klayim, he says. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah begins to talk about how Malkus administered. Says the Mishnah, Kama Malkus, so how many Malkus does one get? Aboim Chosachas 39. Says the Gemara, how do we know that? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, we call the fun of Kedei Rishosoi b'misbar Aboim Yakena. The Pasuk is read like it says, b'mispar aboyim, minyan shu samach laboyim, the number that's closest to 40. Yehuda ayma aboyim shleim su loika. Yehuda says you get 40 malchus, ve'eku loikus yisera. So 39 is divisible by 3, and the Gemara is going to tell us how each one of those malchus, how we do these sets. This extra malchus is given, bank seifov, is given on the back between the shoulders. The Rambam has a very interesting approach. The Rambam's approach is that really the amount of makas that one should receive is 40. However, the Torah also says, lo yosef, that we're not allowed to give more makas than the one is supposed to get. And therefore, because there was a concern that if we're going to give exactly 40, we may end up giving more than this person is supposed to get. So that's why we took down one, and we took it down to 39. So says the Paris Yosef, the way we do this, the evaluation is that we're about to learn that the Beis Din evaluates how many makas this perpetrator is supposed to get. He says that we follow the opinion of the Rambam, very bechidish, that we're learning here that we should always give one less. So just like a healthy person, according to Rambam, is supposed to get 40, but we give him one less, and that's why we give him 39. So let's say somebody was evaluated for 36 malchus. According to the Rambam, he would get 35, because we always give one less than he's supposed to get. That's one point. And then the Ritvaz makes another point. We've learned, that a Shliach Beis Din, if the person who's appointed by Beis Din to give the malchus kills the person who's getting the malchus, so he's not considered a murderer, because he's doing his job. He's doing the job of a Shliach Beis Din. However, the halacha is that if he gave the person who's getting the makas more than he was supposed to get, so then he's not acting in the capacity of a Shliach Beis Din. And since he's not acting in the capacity of a Shliach Beis Din, he's considered a murderer. Says the Ratvaz, what will be if the Shliach Beis Din gives 40 malchus, and the person was evaluated that he could withstand 40 malchus, and he got the 40 malchus, and he got the 40 malchus, and on the 40th malchus, he died. Will the Shliach Beis Din be off the hook or not? So suggests the Ratvaz that since according to the Rambam, the halach is that he should get 40 malchus, and he was evaluated that he could get 40 malchus, so it's not considered as if the Shliach Beis Din did something improper. And since it's not considered as if the Shliach Beis Din did something improper, suggests the Ratvaz, according to Rambam, that Shliach Beis Din who gave the 40th malchus will not be considered a murderer and will not go to Golos. But says the Mishnah, when we do the evaluation, the number always has to be makas haruis l'shtalosh. It has to be a number that is divisible by 3. Amdu l'kabel aboim. So says the Mishnah, this person was evaluated that he could take the entire set, v'loka mixas, and he got some of them. And as they're doing this to him, they realize that he can't take any more potter, that he doesn't get any more malchus. Then says the Mishnah, they did evaluation, and it was determined that he could take 18 malchus. And after he got the 18, they see that he's stronger, and he can really get more potter. Once he got the amount that he was supposed to get, evaluated for, he doesn't get any more. Begins the Gemara. Ma tama, what's the reason that he gets only 39? Doesn't the Torah HaKadosh say, Aboim Yakena? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Ikos of Aboim Bemisper. If the Torah used the word Aboim Bemisper, Havamina Aboim Beminyana, we have to give him 40. Hash the Ksiv, but now that the Torah says, Bemisper Aboim, says the Gemara, what it means to say is minyan shu soikim es aboim, the number which is right before 40. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava kama tepshoi sharinchi. How foolish are people? The kaimim kaim sefer Torah, they get up for sefer Torah, they show great respect for sefer Torah. V'loi kaimim kaver Rava, but they don't show this respect for talmid chachamim. But says the Gemara, let's look at the pasuk. Deal with sefer Torah. If we look
at the Sefer Torah, the halacha is that there it says Abon, Vasra Abonon, and then the Rabbanon went and Batsu Chada, and they took from 40 down to 39. So of course that they took from 40 down to 39. So that shows even greatness. Of course, this Gemara requires much understanding, because we know and we are very careful in showing respect to Sefer Torah. And there's an interesting shaila that the Poskim discuss, that of course one has to show this respect for Sefer Torah. And the Shail Shuvas Rivah discuss where a terrible story happened as the Sefer Torah was being taken out of the Aron Kodesh. The person who was carrying the Sefer Torah was a Talmud Chacham, and he fell, and the Sefer Torah fell, and this person fell. And who should be picked up first, the Talmud Chacham or the Sefer Torah? Says the Rivah that, of course, the Sefer Torah should be picked up first. The Pasha Pshat is that the Gemara is trying to teach us how we should show respect to Talmid Chachamim. But even though, of course, that's the purpose that the Gemara is trying to teach us, that doesn't mean that we can in any way diminish the covet of a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, another way of explaining this Gemara is, in general, to understand this Gemara, the Gemara is sort of chas v'sholem diminishing the covet of Sefer Torah. That's not the way to understand the Gemara's point. The Pnei Yeshua and the Shvus Yaakov say that our Gemara is speaking about very special Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim who are on the level, Talmidei Chachamim who are on the level that they could take a pasuk in the Torah that says 40 and reduce it to 39. That is not every Talmud Chacham, and therefore only these unique Talmidei Chachamim have the special rule. And therefore, of course, the halacha is that one has to stand and show great respect to Sefer Torah. There is a question, so how come we don't have to stand when the Sefer Torah, that's why we have to stand when the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Aron? Because again, it shows the tremendous respect that we have to show to the Sefer Torah. Having said that, but once the Sefer Torah is put down on the Bima, so the Poskim all suggest that the Bima is the place of the Sefer Torah, and that's the same reason why the Sefer Torah isn't Aron HaKodesh. We don't have to stand, even though we're in a shul that has a Sefer Torah, all for the same point. Because once we're in a shul with a Sefer Torah, so then, and the Sefer Torah has its own place, that is going to be considered its own place, and then you don't have to stand. The question that comes up in the Paiskim is, what is the halacha when the Sefer Torah is being moved around on by Hakafis? May one sit during the Hakafis? As much as, because the Sefer Torah, is that considered that the Sefer Torah is b'mekaymai? And if it's considered that the Sefer Torah is b'mekaymai, then we would be allowed to sit by Hakafis? Or since the Sefer Torah is not in a specific spot then, it's not on the Bima, it's not in the Aron Kodesh, we wouldn't be allowed to sit. The Chishuk Echemet has a very interesting discussion. We've just been discussing the balance that we have to show to a Sefer Torah, that we have to show to Talmud Chacham. The question is, if a city, if there's money available for tzedakah, and it could be used to hire a Rav, or it could be used to buy another Sefer Torah, what should it be used for? So clearly, in a case where the city has a Sefer Torah, and they just want to buy another Sefer Torah, or have a Talmud Chacham in the city, a Rav, it seems that there's no question that they should buy, they should have the Rav. If, on the other hand, you can't have both, you don't have either, so it would seem that the city has to have a Sefer Torah. How could you survive without a Sefer Torah? But he wants to make an argument that perhaps not that way. His argument is as follows. Everybody realizes that a city, a community, a shul has to have a Sefer Torah. And they're going to keep on doing what they have to do to get the Sefer Torah, because they're not going to want to remain without a Sefer Torah. But if they're going to take those funds and with those funds buy a Sefer Torah, and now they won't have any more funds,
And they're going to say, okay, so we won't be able to hire a rav, we won't be able to hire a rabbi, we don't have the money. That's going to be an unacceptable situation. And therefore, he suggests that maybe it's better to hire the rav, and the rav first job will be to make sure that they hire, that they, of course, buy a Sefer Torah that every shul is supposed to have. The Paiskim discussed this, the Mefarshim obviously discussed this Gemara quite extensively, where the Gemara speaks about Kama Tepshoi, how foolish are people who act this way. And one of the questions that many ask, the Yaris Devash asks, why do people call Tepshoi, what are they called foolish? They're Rishoyim. The Torah says, when they save a Tokim, for Darta Pnei Zokin, that we have to show respect for Talmid Chachamim. So a person who doesn't act that way is not a tippish, he's not a fool, he's a Rasha. Says the Yaris Devash, the Torah is not very clear in how we have to fulfill that obligation. Since the Torah is not very clear in how we have to fulfill that obligation, therefore an argument, they say, we're showing respect for Talmid Chachamim, but the way we're showing the respect is not necessarily the same way we show respect to Sefer Torah. And the Gemara is teaching us that we have to show that respect. Another pshat that I saw is that people say that everybody shows respect to Sefer Torah because Sefer Torah, the Teres Yeshua says this, Sefer Torah can't speak. A Talmid Chacham could speak. And people have no problem showing respect to somebody who can't do anything back to them. That's the Tipshoi, that they don't realize that the Talmid Chacham who could put them on the great derech is greater than people, than the Sefer Torah that is there to teach us the halacha, but can't show us the right way on a day to day. And therefore, as I saw of Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, a person who feels, who misses the ability to understand what Talmid Chacham do for us, that's tipshoy, that's a foolishness. I saw that many Mefarshim suggest that we actually have two places where the Torah, where Talmid Chacham Chazal took a number in the Torah and changed it. One is here, when we speak about Malkus, that the Malkus is supposed to be 40, and Chazal took it down to 39. And the other place is where the Sfira, where the Torah says, Tisperu Chamishim Yoim, 50 days, and Chazal took it down to 49. Says the Gemara, that's what the greatness of Talmid Chachamim is. The greatness of Talmid Chachamim is that they could take and they can make Malkus, where a person is supposed to get 40, he should only get 39. A Talmud Chacham, what is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? The definition of a Talmud Chacham is that he is able to make the life of Jews easier. It won't be 40 Malkus, it'll only be 39. The Divrei Shmuel has a different approach to this Gemara. The Divrei Shmuel's approach to this Gemara is that we look at the Gemara as two different types of situations. One is a Sefer Torah, and one is a Talmud Chacham. He says, a Talmud Chacham is to be looked at as a Sefer Torah. Kama tepshoi hani inchi. How foolish are these people that the person who's a Talmud Chacham, they're not foolish, they're not smart enough to realize, as the Pasuk says, kosem aluach libecha. Kasim Abluach Lebecha is that the Talmud Chacham becomes one with the Torah. So therefore, just like we're learning that we have to show great respect to Sefer Torah, and we all understand that, we have to understand that a Talmud Chacham is like a Sefer Torah. And since the Talmud Chacham is like a Sefer Torah, we have to learn. But then, as we said earlier, there are many that suggest that our Gemara is speaking only about a specific type of a Talmud Chacham. What is a Talmud Chacham that we're speaking about? So the Pnei Yeshua says that we're speaking about a Talmud Chacham who is a person who's able to be Mechadish Kedusha Torah. A Talmud Chacham who has the ability to be Mechadish Kedusha Torah, that is the Talmud Chacham that has the special, that we have to show the special respect to. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Malkus that is given are Abayim Shleimus. As we learned in the Mishnah, there's a Machlok, Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, if it's a 39 or 40. So I saw that the Paradis Yosef asks a question. Often in Shas, where the Gemara quotes a Machlokus, the Gemara says, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim, all opinions are great. These two opinions cannot coexist. So how do we say that both opinions are correct? So he says, going back to the Rambam that we quoted earlier in our shir, that the Rambam says you're really supposed to get 40, but Chazal said give only 39 because we're concerned that you shouldn't give more than you're supposed to. So that's exactly the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, says the Paradis Yosef. Everybody says that you're supposed to give 40. The dafkamina is that are we concerned that if we're going to say 40, you may end up giving more than you're allowed to or not? The Bat Tanura has a different pshat. And I think the way to understand the Bat Tanura's pshat is that everybody agrees that the number is supposed to be 40. Just according to the Tanakhama, the way you fulfill the 40th just by the person who gives the Malkus lifting his hands. And by lifting his hand, that is considered that he gave 40 Malkus. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, the person who gives that, who just lifts his hand, doesn't give, isn't doing anything. And he has to really give the 40th Makkah. Interesting to point out, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rishonim say that in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that Beis Din Shamata gives 39 Malkus, as we're learning. Beis Din Shamala gives 60 Malkus. What's the difference? So, the Beis Din, we know that in this world, when does a person become a bar mitzvah? At the age of 13. So since he becomes a bar mitzvah at the age of 13, Malkus is three times the age when you became obligated in mitzvahs. Three times the age of when you became obligated in mitzvahs is 3 times 13 equals 39. But the Beis Din Shamala gives an oinish at the age of 20. And therefore, 3 times 20 equals 60. And that's why in the Beis Din Shamala, the number for Malkus is not 39. In the Beis Din Shamala, the number for Malkus is 60. Again, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Abayim Shleimus, you give 40 Malkus. The pasuk says in Zechariah, "Ma makas ela ben yodecha v'ma shekesi beis mahavi." The Beis Din gave Malkus 40 Malkus, says the Gemara, which equals a total of Malkus. We gave one more, as Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, benikusfayim, which is the 39 plus 1 equal 40. How did Rabbanan defend himself? That pasuk is not referring to what happens in Beis Din. It goes back to something that we spoke about earlier in the shir, that in the Masechta, that a father, a Rebbe, gives Malkus and they give this number. We learned the number that is identified, that is evaluated, has to be divisible by 3. Loka, and the Mishnah says that Amdul Kabla Boim, if he was evaluated to get 40 Veloka and he got some of them, and then they see that he can't take any more, Potter. Loka, so it means that he started getting the Malkus. Loy Loka, but if he didn't get those Malkus and they saw that he was identified to get a certain amount and they saw that he can't, Loy, then he's not off the hook. Ask the Gemara, that he's not off the hook for an amount that he could get.
if he was identified to get 40 malchus. The chazva am dusheni, the 39. The chazva am dusheni yochel kabel aboyim that he can't potter amdu lekabel shmon esrei. Continues the brisa. If he was evaluated, that he could take 18. The chazva am dusheni yochel kabel aboyim, and then they saw he could take more potter. So we have here a question that here it says that when he can't take what he's supposed to, because he couldn't take the original higher evaluation, then he's off the hook, even if he didn't get those malchus. And our Mishnah, it seems that he's only off the hook if they started giving him the malchus and saw that he can't withstand it. Says the Gemara, Amr of Shesh Lakasha. Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah is talking about them Deol Yoimei, that on the same day that he was evaluated to get 39, they did a second evaluation that he can't get the 39. So that is obvious that the first evaluation was incorrect. Because since both evaluations were done on the same day, it's difficult to assume that anything changed significantly. So it's a proof that the first evaluation was incorrect. And therefore, we have to do everything again. But if he already got malchus, so once he already started getting malchus, so he got whatever he could get, and he doesn't get malchus again. But in a case that where he was evaluated to get 18, and then that very day that they said he could get 40, so it's obvious that the first evaluation was incorrect. And again, if he got malchus, so even though he should have gotten more, it's a bazillion to Besdin. It's an embarrassment to Besdin. The Besdin is saying, well, we made the evaluation wrong, and they don't have to get, he doesn't get more. If he didn't get any malchus yet, then we could give him the proper evaluation. But if the evaluations were not done all on the same day, Emdu'a l'macher, the second evaluation was done on another day, l'yoyma achron, so then the two evaluations are not necessarily contradicting each other. When it's on another day, it means that his physical situation changed. So therefore, if we were first evaluated for 39, and then we saw that he can't, we see that the first evaluation was a correct evaluation. He went through the embarrassment of that evaluation, then he doesn't have to get malchus. And if at first he was evaluated for 18 and then he could get more, we again, since we're not discounting the first evaluation, we followed the first evaluation. It says the Mishnah of Aveira Shesh B'Shnei Lavin, if he did an Aveira that comes with two Malchus, as we discussed so extensively previously, and Amdua Aymer Echad, and he was evaluated one evaluation and he could get more than 39, Loika, then he gets it upotter. Vimlav, that if his evaluation was for only one of the Averis, then Loika, he'll get that. And then Misrapa, he'll get well from that experience for Chayz of Loika. So says the Gemara, from our Mishnah, it seems we could do two evaluations for two Malchus at the same time. But ask the Gemara, Tanya, how we learned in a Braisa, Ein Oimdim. We have to do for every Avera separate evaluation. Amr of Sheshes answers the Gemara Lekasha. If the first was evaluated, they could get 41 Malchus. So then we won't be able to give him for the second Avera more than two Malchus. Two Malchus itself is not considered a set of Malchus, because as we've been saying throughout our Shir, a set of Malchus must be a number which is divisible by 3. So that means he's going to get the 39 Malchus. We'll wait till he recovers, and now we'll give him another set of Malchus. But if he was evaluated, that he could withstand 42 Malchus, so now it's 39 plus 3. 3 is a number that is a set of Malchus. Since 3 is a number which is a set of Malchus, it'll be considered that he got two sets, and then he won't have to get any more Malchus. Says the Mishnah Ketz Malkanah, so exactly how was the Malkus done? Kaifish de Yadav, they tie his two hands, Al Omid on a beam that was in the in a tree, a beam that was in the floor of the Bezdin, Halach for Halach, from the two sides, the Chazan HaKnesses, that means the Shamus. Why is he called the Chazan? The Chazan is from the word Chayza. He's the person that sees. He makes sure that whatever is needed in the shul, in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Beis Din, is taken care of. The Chaz HaKnesses, Oichas B'Begadav, holds his clothing. Im Nikru, if as he's holding them, they get ripped, so be it. Nikru V'im Nifru, if they get torn. Nifrimu, Achu Megal Sliboy, until his heart is revealed. And the Rambam explains the reason is that we want that the Makkos should be directly on his body. And that's why it has to be done in a way that they're going to be able to hit the body directly. Ve'evin Asunim Achrav, there was a platform standing behind this person who's getting the Makkos. Chazan HaKnesses Oymer Olav, in which the Chazan HaKnesses stand. Ve'tzu B'yodin, he holds a belt. The belt is made out of egel. It's made out of calf skin. The kful echel shnayim, it was doubled over, and then after it was doubled over, it was doubled again shnayim la'arba to make it look like four straps. Shtei ritzush chamar oilus v'yodusboy, and the two straps of donkey skin also. Yodai, the stick tefach, it's the handle of the is a tefach. For rachvay, and the width is a tefach long. For rachka tefach, and wider tefach. For roisha megas api kresoi, the top of the strap hits the top of the body of the person. Omakrei soi shlish mafanov, when he gives him malchus, three are from a third are in the front. V'shtei yadav, and 2/3 melachrov are from the back. Veina makrei soi oimid. When the person's getting the makas, he's not standing. For lo yoshev, no sitting. Elamoita, he's bent over. Shnemev v'pila yoshev v'kol lefonov. V'maka b'yodei achas. He uses, the person who gives the makas uses one hand. And he uses, kol koichai, he uses all of his might. V'kare, the person who reads the psukim, that's the Rosh Bezdin. Kariyim loy sishma lasas called divrei Torah azoy saksum seifa azeh lira as Hashem anechbe v'anoira hazeh Hashem lakecha vifla Hashem es makoscha v'asmakas zarecha makas gudos v'namonim v'chaloyim v'namonim v'choyzul t'chil samikra. And then he goes back to the beginning of the pasuk where he says v'shmatam es divrei apris azoyis v'sisin oysom alman taskilu es kol shetasim. And then he concludes with saying the pasuk of Arach Michaper Oven, the Chayzel of Tchilas Amikra, and then he goes back to the beginning. The Meis Tachas Yadoi, if as this person who's giving the Makkos, the victim dies, Potter, he's a Shlich Bezdin. However, Chayzev Loi Oid Ritzu Achas, if he gave more Makkos than this person was supposed to receive, then he's considered a Ritzeich B'Shoigig, and therefore I raise a Goyal Al Yadoi. The skalkel, if as the person is getting malchus, bein berei, waste comes out of his body, or mayim, he urinates, potter. Then you don't have to, he already was embarrassed enough, and since he was embarrassed enough, we stopped the malchus. Yudayme ish berei, a man stops the malchus with, when he defecates, and isha, even just with urination, doesn't get any malchus. The Mefarshim say, this is the reason why we, before we daven Ma'ariv, say Vahu Racham, because typically, Malkus were given at night. So to remember that people who did Averis would get Malkus at night, I saw two reasons. One is because the Malkus were given, that's when Bezdin was in session, or if a person did Averis in the course of the day, at night, he would get Malkus for the Averis that he did. So since he got the Malkus at night for the Averis that he did, so that's why we say Burachim by night. Another explanation why we say it at night is because by day, Kabbonis were brought.
And if somebody, chas v'shalom, did an aveira, he brought a carbon, and the carbon was the kapara on his aveira. But by night, there are no kabbanis brought. Since there are no kabbanis brought at night, so that's why we have malchus at night. And that's why we say v'urachim. And v'urachim, we know the minig is that on Matzoi Shabbos, when we start Ma'ariv, we start v'urachim, and many places have the nusach where they stretch out the v'urachim. The reason they stretch out the v'urachim, v'urachim chaper oven, we know that the neshamas go back to Gehenim, those that belong in Gehenim, go back to Gehenim Matzoi Shabbos. We want to delay their going back to Gehenim. Saying v'urachim chaper oven is the way to delay their going to Gehenim. And this is also the reason why by Ma'ariv, on Friday night or on Yontav night, we don't say v'urachim, because we say v'urachim is very connected to the Malkus. And on Shabbos and Yontav, Malkus weren't administered, so that's why we don't have to say to commemorate that, the v'urachim chaper oven.